Hello, and welcome to our Search CRM podcast. I'm Rose Cafasso, Associate News and Site Editor of SearchCRM.com. Our topic today is social media for business-to-business companies and how they can engage customers through social channels. Here with me today is Paul Gillen, social media expert, consultant, and author of social media books such as The New Influencers and Secrets of Social Media Marketing. Paul is also the author of Social Marketing to the Business Customer, one of the only books written on social media for the B2B marketplace. Paul wrote this book with Eric Schwartzman, and it was published earlier this year. Welcome, Paul.
Thanks, Rose. Pleasure to be here.
Now, Paul, you were a journalist and the editor for many years and then started zeroing in on the social media phenomena. What first intrigued you?
It was the way it flipped the equation of influence. And influence, I think, is what first got me interested in social media. And there was actually an experience I can relate it very directly to a story. I attended an event at which the organizer asked someone to blog about the event. And I did, and sent a link to him, a fellow named Dan Bricklin, who's very well known in tech circles. And he posted a link on his blog and sent 800 visitors to my blog in the course of 2 days. And I had been familiar with traditional direct mail marketing using email previously and knew that we would typically drop about 30,000 emails to get 800 clicks. And I had seen one link have the same effect, and I was captivated by that and realized that this was going to change the dynamics of influence in media and marketing.
Right. So now let's start with a look at social channels for B2B companies. I think so many of us equate social channels with Facebook and Twitter. But there are so many other channels or approaches that could be of equal value or perhaps even more value to a B2B company than just those two. What would you point to, Paul, as some of the channels B2B companies should be considering?
Well, I think that for B2B companies, blogging is the low-hanging fruit. It's hard to think of a scenario where a B2B company shouldn't be blogging because blogs play so well to their needs. They're excellent at search optimization, which is driving inbound traffic that creates qualified leads. They're also good for expressing detailed information, technical information, which is very important to many B2B relationships. Business customers want to know a lot about the suppliers they work with, and blogs are an ideal way to get your message out. In addition to that, I think the social network for B2B really is LinkedIn, and the research supports that. Numerous studies have supported that marketers are getting more value, B2B marketers get more value out of LinkedIn than they do out of Facebook or even Twitter. And I think it's because LinkedIn is so professionally focused. It is a professional network. It's all about getting business done. And for B2B marketers who want to cut through the hype and get directly to answering people's questions, solving people's problems, LinkedIn is one of the places to go. I would also mention Quora as being a hot new up-and-comer in this area. And there's a site called Branch Out that is used for professional networking also that's an up-and-comer. And then there are numerous special purpose sites which focus specifically on certain vertical markets. There are hundreds of those.
Right. How does a company even figure out, okay, all these different choices, where do I start?
Well, I would start by surveying your customers and say, where do you get your answers to your questions?
Right.
And you may be surprised. You may find that there are vertical social networks or that Twitter is very helpful or that they do a lot of just searching around. You know, over 85% of product of B2B product decisions now begin with search engines. So you really want to optimize your activities to the place where your customers are going to be. And I think the ideal starting point is to ask your customers. So often I see B2B companies just dive into all of these different social networks without really having a strategy or knowing who they're trying to reach or who they might reach there. And that simple question at the front end can save you a lot of grief.
Right. So asking where the customers are to avoid that putting themselves out on a network where they're just sitting there or broadcasting and really not providing any value.
Right, and I think you use an important word there, broadcasting. You know, this isn't about broadcasting. This is it's about narrowcasting, if you will. It's about reaching small, highly engaged focused audiences rather than blasting a message to a large number, to large groups. You know, it's not about reach and frequency anymore. It's about engagement. And this is flipping the traditional model on its head. It's something that's very difficult for many marketers to adopt.
So you think many companies don't grasp that? They're trying to apply the old technique to a new channel?
Oh, absolutely. I was out just last week speaking with marketers at one of the most respected marketing companies in the world, and the discussion turned to metrics, and they were saying that the metrics that they were using to measure social media were impressions. And I said that's 1995. Impressions are mass media metric. You really want to be looking at engagement, things like comments and shares and page views per visit, repeat visits, subscriptions. These are some of the metrics of engagement that really reflect the value of these new tools. Impressions are a relic, or are a metric, I guess, that applies to a mass medium, to a broadcast model. It doesn't mean that's not a useful metric, but it's not well applied to social channels.
Right. One other thing we've seen recently gaining some traction are these ideas of private or semi-private communities, something like what Salesforce.com has been promoting with Chatter, where a network can be set up that includes employees, customers, third-party partners, and it's a community revolving around a particular product, for example. Do you think that's going to get more traction? Do you think we'll see more of those?
I think that those are going to become just part of the landscape. Mm-hmm. Everyone is going to be using internal social networks in a few years. These are really what I call Internet 2.0. You know, a lot of early intranets were not used very much because they limited or they did not make sharing available. And what we see with applications like Chatter and Yammer and Lithium and Jive, mm-hmm. and other tools that are appropriate for use behind the firewall, is that they enable people to freely share knowledge and discover resources in the company that they didn't know exist. And this is a huge productivity enhancer. So I think everyone is going to be using, every corporation is going to be using those tools in a matter of a few years.
Okay. I wanted to bring up just a couple of things that have been in the news recently. There was a story that some of the pharmaceutical companies had taken down their Facebook pages because they didn't want to keep them up there and continue and allow comments, that there are legal issues and so forth surrounding that could be presented to them. Do you think that that's just a statement of that particular industry, or does that make a statement about Facebook as a social channel?
I think that the pharma companies are justified in their concerns, as are other regulated industries like financial services companies. There are regulations that, for example, dictate that if you address an issue in a social network, perhaps as a comment on Facebook, then you're obliged to address that issue in all other venues. Essentially, it becomes a matter of public record. So
right.
I think regulated industries have to be very careful about the kind of freewheeling forums that social networks provide. That said, you know, you can participate in social venues without having a free-for-all. You can limit the discussions. You can you can disclaim what you can and can't talk about. I don't think it's a black and white scenario. I don't think you either are on Facebook or aren't on Facebook. I think you can be on Facebook with a statement that says, there are certain issues that the FCC does not, or that the FTC does not allow us to talk about, and we will decline to engage in those discussions.
What might be some low-risk engagement strategies, ways to really honestly engage with customers, not just broadcast to them, but that doesn't carry a lot of risk?
Many companies in regulated industries in particular use causes or corporate donations and charitable organizations that they support as a way to engage. So they'll create a Facebook page that is about, in fact, one of the largest financial institution Facebook pages is about a charitable cause. The name of it doesn't come to mind right now, but it's on the order of a couple of million likes on this page that's sponsored by a large financial institution. And what they're doing is talking about something that everybody can agree is a worthy cause. Another thing is to use the channels as a way to share advice. And I came upon one the other day that I thought was very clever. An insurance company has put up a channel on YouTube where it has a very large number, scores of 30-second to 1-minute video clips that explain different insurance concepts. And people have questions about this. You know, what's the difference between whole and term life insurance? What are the eligibility requirements? What decides the rate structure? And they explain these in these short video clips. And that's what I call taking an educational approach to the market, where they're not at risk of treading over the line and getting into compliance problems or regulatory issues.
Right. So they're truly providing some value.
I tell audiences these days, if you're not helping, they're not listening. You know, people don't have to listen to marketing messages anymore. So the way you get attention is by providing helpful advice and by answering their questions. And this is quite different from how marketing has traditionally been done. It's much more engaged and a much more of a giving and sharing approach to the market as opposed to delivering a message.
Right, right. It's more in their control now.
Well, you can't control anything anymore,
right.
Except perhaps what goes on your own website. You can guide, and you can create fans and affinity and trust, which is really the currency. The new currency of marketing is trust, and so to a certain degree, you can control by being helpful. By giving, by being selfless, by supporting others, you really can control the conversation because there's really nothing negative about any of that.
Right. Paul, these have been some terrific tips to provide our listeners. I really appreciate you taking the time to talk to us today.
Rose, always a pleasure.
All right. Have a great day.
Thank you.